I bring you greetings once again. I'm just starting over the recording. And I say Aksameir, or Happy Sabbath, to everyone. And I just want to let you know how pleased I am to be a part of the great work that God is doing. The brethren over in Kenya, they have suddenly found themselves with 11 congregations. So they need our prayers. So I'm asking you to add that to your prayer list. Those who listened to the Sounds of Revival last night, and if anybody would like a copy or would like to be able to download it, just let us know. We'll send you the link. And again, they all follow the same formula. So it's in the Sounds of Revival folder, and it's ready for you to pull down. But I mentioned last night that they need our prayers, and of course they need provisions. Are we talking about, you know, hundreds more? One of the congregation was 250 that came and decided they want to do things the way we have been teaching. I didn't know. They have been copying the weekly teachings for some time. They made a copy, and then they duplicate that among themselves. And so the whole, all seven congregations, because there are seven congregations in total, they have been using this. I did not realize they have been doing that. Now they're telling us when they come and say, listen, we want to be a part of you. So they changed their name to Living God Ministries. That is the umbrella which we operate under in Kenya. It's actually started by Living God Ministries, so we leave it the same way because it's still the body of Christ. And they didn't want to have any confusion. They wanted to use our name, Covenant Church of God. I tell them, no, let's keep it at Living God Ministries. So we have Living God Academy, Living God Ministries, and we have six congregations before, and here comes seven more. And we're going to consolidate a few, so we're going to have a total of 11. So that is where things are. God is doing a great work there, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to give God thanks for that. Now, in today's message, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more about the power of the blood. The power of the blood. What blood are we talking about? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. The power of the blood. But before we go any further, I want everyone locally here and those who are listening online, you can follow through. I'm going to lead us in a declaration because I want us to get serious. We're dead serious about what we intend to do. So we want to make a declaration about the blood. So for those who are with me here, if you want to stand, we're going to lead us. We're going to go ahead and just speak the words, and then you can announce them, you know, say that if you're in agreement. I'll tell you what it is before, so you'll know. Very simple. Because I was bought with a price, the blood of Jesus is that price, and therefore I have access to the throne of grace. That's my declaration. And I want you to join with me, because we want every demon in hell, all those demons who are trying to inveigle you, trying to encourage you to go contrary to God, we want them to know that you mean business. So you're going to open your mouth, as the Bible says, you confess with your mouth. Well, you're going to confess with your mouth what? Your declaration today. So let's go ahead. I was bought with a price. The blood of Jesus is that price. Therefore, I have access to the throne of grace. Let's do it one more time. I was bought with a price. The blood of Jesus is that price. Therefore, I have access to the throne of grace. All right, thank you. Every demon must know that you mean business. You have access. Because when you understand what is available, there's no real reason when you stop and think of it. I refuse to believe that people who are filled with the Spirit, following the lead of the Spirit after a year, can't find their way. I don't believe that. I don't believe you're following Jesus all the way if after a year you can't find your way out. Somewhere along the line, you're dropping the ball. Now, I want to begin by pointing out something which is elementary. We all know this, but it is good that we hear it again. It's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Because there is a price for sin, you know. There is a price. Sin cost. What is that price? What is the result? Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin, you're going to get paid. When you sin, you're going to get paid. The payment is debt. The wages of sin is debt. Everyone who sins is going to die unless somebody else pays the price. So the wages of sin is debt, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we get it. The wages of sin is debt. All those people, the sinners you see out there on the street, are going to die unless Jesus rescue them. Everyone out there is going to die. As a matter of fact, it's appointed to everyone wants to die. Then after that, there's going to be a judgment. Everybody's going to die. You and I also. But thank God Jesus paid my price. So I'm going to get the gift, eternal life. I want to begin again by pointing out something else. Because the title of the message is The Power of the Blood. And of course, we're talking about what kind of blood? Not the blood of chickens or goats or bulls or doves and stuff like that. No, we're talking about the blood of Jesus. But let's go to Leviticus chapter 23 and read something about blood. Because we need to understand that whenever blood is involved, things are serious. My mom used to tell us when we were little, we used to be hated by a lot of folks, so we were fighting a lot. She said, make sure you don't spill any blood, but defend yourself. Once you spill blood, that's a whole different story now. The law looks at it differently. Verse 10 of Leviticus 17 says, whatsoever man there... 17. Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of strangers that sojourn among you, that eat any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eat blood. I'm going to cut him off from among his people. There are some people over in Africa, part of it's Kenya. That's not the only country. That they consume blood from their cattle. Yeah, they just puncture them, get some of the blood, and they drink it. The people up in Norway, it's not just black people. People up in Finland. They eat blood. They have what they call blood pudding. Some have what they call blood sausage. So it's not just the black man who's doing it. White people are doing it also. It's upside down. They have it wrong. But he says, if you do that, I guarantee that you're going to be cut off from your people. So when you see these people cut off, don't be surprised. Why? Because they're making some grievous mistakes. For the life of the flesh, verse 11, is in the blood. That is why you don't eat blood. Because that blood represents something. And if your blood leak out, your life is gone immediately. He lost too much blood. You hear that expression? They lost too much blood. That's why they have blood bank. You need blood. I have given it to you, the life of the flesh I have given to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that make an atonement for the soul. You see, blood is very important. The spilling of blood implies then there is a price to be paid. It was a life. Therefore, verse 12, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul among you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. Anybody that lives under your household. See, there's one law for everybody. Everybody in the house, one law. No, you can't have more than one. Got to be have one. That's why when people don't behave, after a while you have to get rid of them. Why? Because you have to have one law, because his judgment is going to come. And he says, nobody in the house is supposed to eat blood. No money, nobody. Plain and simple. So we don't eat blood. I don't care what they try to tell us or how they pretty it up and put it on a nice plate. We will not eat it. Because it represents something else. There is a witchcraft that they practice in Cuba. They have some part of Haiti too, but it's more popular in Cuba. You see some of it in South America, in South Florida, where they kill all these chickens. By the way, they do a few of it that I've seen or heard of rather in Jamaica. I don't know if they do it on a large scale. They tend to use goats. But they kill this thing and they sprinkle the blood. Why is it? Them demons understand blood means something. That's why they want blood. That's why something have to die. And so they kill the chicken and so on. And they kill the Santeria. They do that. And they use that. They're trying to copy this, but they do it the wrong way. Because the only blood that matters now is what? Jesus' blood. So all them other blood don't really count anymore. They're only offering sacrifices to demons. That's what they're doing. They don't know it, but that's what they're doing. And whosoever, verse 13, any man there be in the children of Israel or of the strangers sojourn among you, which hunt and catch any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. In other words, bury it. So you will not have contamination in the place. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood. Therefore whosoever eat it shall be cut off. Is he serious about this? You better believe he is. And so we need to understand that blood means something. The demons do. You start talking about the blood and they get real handsy. The wages of sin is debt. So that price has to be paid. That's what the Passover represents. And that man lost his life. What's his name? Jesus. In Hebrews, the 22nd chapter, just in case we didn't get it, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to read some more about this later, but because I have a lot of information, ladies and gentlemen. But let's look at it starting in verse 21. He says, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now, what does he mean by the tabernacle? That was their house, kind of like their house of worship. He sprinkled blood on it. And he sprinkled blood over the ministry. The vessels of ministry. And he says in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. There has to be shedding of blood. Because blood represents life. And so the shedding of this blood now was Jesus' blood. Notice the term sprinkled. Because sometimes they would sprinkle it. Very, very important. The spreading of blood, the sprinkling of blood, and the shedding of blood. I want you to understand that. Now, this represents the blood of Jesus, which we're going to see as we study some more. But I want us to notice something in Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke chapter 10. Now, this is an in-depth study. It's not for the faint of heart. We mean business. Remember we made a declaration earlier? We were bought with a price. And if you don't accept that, you're letting it go for nothing. A lot of people in the church don't understand the power of the blood and what is available to them because of it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That's what happened. He got kicked out. Just like lightning. Just like that. He just got kicked out. No more access. Because he got beside himself. But look at verse 19. "Behold, I give unto you power." Did you see that? Every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ and have received the Spirit of God should have power on us and in us. He has given unto us power to eat food. Well, yes, that too, but that's minor. He has given unto us power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You're going to be able to run over all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." I don't care which organization they belong to. What Masonic, whatever. Whatever they sacrifice to. No matter how many chickens they kill or how many goats they sacrifice, I'm not scared of none of them. Because he has given us power over all the power of the enemy. Are you with me? So this thing about being scared because people are into witchcraft, you're being naive. Don't let the devil fool you. He has given us power over all the works of the enemy. So why is that then? People in the church can't make it. Why are they struggling so badly? They're not applying the blood. They're not using the access that we have because of the blood. Because of the blood that was shed. And you need to understand that he has given us power over all the works of the enemy. Look at verse 21. "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent." Those who think they got it. Those who think they find another way. They don't know this. He has hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good to your, so good in your sight." This kind of information is hidden from the arrogant, the self-centered, the ones who don't want to pay attention to Jesus, the one who try to tell you been there, done that, those who don't really want to pay attention to him, don't want to humble themselves and come before him, they're going to do without. That's the bottom line. I don't care how hard they work. They will have nothing in the end. They're not going to get the very best. Because without faith, you can't please him, and therefore you cannot receive, and therefore you're going to be on the losing end of the stick. But he has given us power. Now, just in case there is any among us, look at Numbers chapter 32. Just in case there's any among us who somehow think they've found some loophole in this argument, they are mistaken. Luke chapter, Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says, if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. You say, well, I'm doing my sin in secret. Nobody can see it. Oh, really? Your sin is going to find you out. Yes, you're going to be exposed. Your sin is going to reveal who you really are. There is no shortcut. There's no way around it. You need the blood of Jesus. Because your sin is going to find you out. And therefore, you want to be able to walk in power. Your sins will find you out. There are a lot of people who did a lot of evil. Instead of repenting, they try to cover it up and they commit more evil. They get it wrong. Repent. Turn from it. Tell the Lord you're sorry and move on. Well, what else do we know about the blood and the power of the blood? Let's look at Revelations chapter 12, because it's all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible, my friend. I am saying to you, that in verse 10, actually I'm going to verse 11, but let's start with verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. That's what the devil is doing regularly. To hinder you, he's pointing out where you make mistakes, and he's accusing God and say, you can't help so-and-so because they just sinned, they did this, they did that. And you need to be able to go to God and let Jesus plead your cause for you. He will do so, but you have to come and make the request. So you get your own lawyer. Who is he? Jesus. So he's going to confront the accuser, Satan the devil, the prosecutor, and he's going to come before him, the throne, and say, but your honor, so and so has been covered by the blood. This person is covered by the blood. He made this request and this petition this morning of me. He made that petition 6 months ago. He made that petition 10 years ago or whenever. And he's still covered by the blood. Grant him that petition, O Lord, and Satan lose out right then. Constantly arguing. And so he realized, no, he can't win no more. So he says, he's going to come down to hurt no one, try to fight the people himself. So the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And boy, is he furious now, because he lose every case. Jesus outmaneuvered him in court. The blood of Jesus was strong enough to overcome all that. So verse 11 says, and they overcame him. Now we now are going to overcome him. We're not going to fall for his foolishness because we know our rights. We're covered by the blood. So we now, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, are you testifying about what God has done for you? Can you tell people, I just made a declaration earlier that I was bought with a price and I'm covered by his blood. I have access to the throne of grace. So nothing the devil can do to stop me. They may as well get out the way because I'm going to run right over them because I have access to the throne of grace. You say, I don't want access, then you're naive. He's going to run over you. He's just going to flatten you out. You're going to be just like Eklund Jekyll. You remember those cartoons years ago about Bugs Bunny? Something just run over them and they're flat. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be flattened out by the devil when he finishes with you. Because he have enough henchmen out there to tear you apart. But you're covered by the blood if you're wise enough to apply it. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. We were bold as a lion. Therefore, we're not going to back down. We're going to stand our ground. Are you with me? You need to stand your ground. Don't let these nitwits and ragamuffins try to drag you down. No, you're going to go and you're going to run over him and you're going to be successful because God has given you the victory. He told us earlier, he has given us power over all the work of the enemy. Not some of it, all of it. Keep that in mind. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So the enemy of our soul is going to be baffled because he can't handle us. Yes, he come with great vengeance, so he's going to destroy a lot of people on earth. That's why you're going to have a great tribulation, but not the saints. They are going to be rescued. Now, you have some who are lukewarm, won't pay attention. Well, they'll just lose their life, but they're going to stand up and resist him still. But they will in the process lose their life. Now, you don't have to go through that. Luke 21, verse 36 tells us, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. So you can. Some people, though, they're stubborn. They like to stay on the hedge, you know. See how much they can go live to the world. They're interested in what is coming through Hollywood and that kind of stuff. Hanging around that kind of foolishness. And they fail to realize that's a world of make-believe. But I am saying to you, never lose sight of the fact that there's redemption in the blood. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. I've covered it several times. Let's look at it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Because I am saying to you, you need to be aware of all that is available to you. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us acceptable. Satan tried to tell you, you're not worthy. He's a liar. He has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood. That's how we get our acceptance, through the blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, because he's so generous, willing to just pour out eternal life, make it available to you for those who are willing. As I said, there was a price. The price was the blood. Just a friendly reminder in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Let's look at it. Because Jesus is making it clear in case you have some who don't get it. Look what he says. As they were eating, so this was the Passover. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take heed, this is my body. Verse 27, and he took the cup. What's in the cup? Wine. He took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. So here it is, that Passover again represents that, and so the wine come. This is the blood, again, which translates meaning, this is life. You don't drink that blood, you will have no life. You don't drink the wine in representing this, you will have no life. You work hard all year, you struggle. It ain't going to work out. You'll just be treading water. Most people don't realize that. I'm guaranteeing that unless you eat this bread and drink this wine, you have no power in you. That's why you can't miss Passover. A lot of people don't understand that. People say, well, I'm going to take a break. You're naive. The devil is going to break you if you talk about you take a break. No, there's no such thing. There's no time out in real life. You know, decide I'm going to rest a few days and decide, well, I won't breathe today. I won't eat for another 2-3 months. I'm just going to get some rest. Oh, really? Who told you that? It don't work like that, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us additional ammunition so we become aware. Chapter 12, rather. No, it's 11. I typed it wrong. Chapter 11 and verse 24. That is a typo. Miss wrong. Is chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul is right, and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So what he received is what he's delivered. What I have received is what I deliver to the people. Oh, no, it's not my word. I just read the Bible. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So he's telling them what he received. I'm telling you, it's the same thing he did. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take heed, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And that broken body means what again? Healing for our broken body. The teaching is elsewhere. I'll cover it at another time. Just telling you there. Verse 25. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, what was in that cup again? Wine. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we're doing it in remembrance of him now because we have done this before. Or we continue to do that. But unless you eat this cup and drink this bread, there is no power in you. Where is that? It's in John chapter 6. In fact, let's just read it, just in case somebody might have doubts. In verse 63. Let's pick it up. Bread, okay. Verse 62 says, what is this if you shall... Okay. I am that bread. All right, verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father, come unto me. Not that any man had seen the Father, said he which is of God, he that seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believe on me had everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness, but they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eat of me, speaking of himself, continue, and I will give him eternal life. Right? Verse, verily I say unto you, verse 53. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 53. Unless you do this. So you wonder, there's a lot of people associated with the church, but they won't come to Passover. They won't partake of the things of God. I guarantee you for one whole year, they will be treading water. I don't care how hard they work. Or what they think they're going to do without. That is just the way God operates. Unless you eat this bread and drink this cup, you won't have any in you. So I am saying to you, folks, there are very simple reasons why people in the church are not prospering. They don't understand the power of the blood. They just don't understand it. They just let it go for nothing. That's unwise. I want us to go down a little further and pick up something in Hebrews chapter 4, and then I'm going to go into a little dissertation. I don't know if I have enough time to cover it all, but Hebrews chapter 4 and the last verse, 16. He says, let us therefore, it's a recommendation, it's a stir to action, inspiration, so to speak. I am stirring you. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How do you have access to the blood? You have it through Jesus. And what is it you have to do? You have to come to him. You have to make a petition to him. You make a petition to the Father, and you're going to come through the throne of grace. I am telling you that you're going to have to come to the throne of grace if you want the things that the throne is offering. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need help? You better believe it. The devil, he got so many ways to outmaneuver you and overpower you. If you don't have the blood of Jesus covering you, you're going to be mincemeat for him. By the way, that's a cricket expression, this the game cricket. When you beat somebody up real bad, you say make mincemeat of them. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's going to make mincemeat of you if you don't come based on what he's pointing out here. Come to the throne of grace. And that way you're going to find help. So you must come to the throne. That is the access. That is the access. Remember what we say in our declaration? I have access to the throne of grace. So you make a mistake. You tell him you're sorry. You come make your request. He grants it to you. All his requests are what? Yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Well, why won't people receive? They won't come. They come with a misunderstanding. They have the different ways the enemy treat them. Oh, it's not for you. You don't need it. No, you just wait until Jesus comes back. He make all kind of excuse. Let's pick it up in Hebrews chapter 9. Because I'm going to skip over a few verses, but I want to cover as much of this as I can, ladies and gentlemen, because you need to understand this. He says, verily the first covenant, chapter 9, verse 1, verily the first covenant had also ordinance of the divine services and a worldly sanctuary. So there was a physical sanctuary, and they had ordinances, things that they needed to do on a regular basis. And they were given, not because they make you perfect, but to help you develop a character attitude towards God. All right? For there was a tabernacle made first, wherein was the candlestick and table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Remember now, so there is a sanctuary, and then there's another part, which is the holiest of holies, right? Which had the golden censer and the ark and the covenant overlaid round about it, gold, wherein the golden pot and the had manner. And the Aaron's rod was there, and the table of the covenant. In other words, copy of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. So I'm saying to you now, this mercy seat is on top of the ark, which is in the Holy of Holies. And that is where the Shekinah would appear when Moses go in, and he would hear this voice talking to him, but he wouldn't see nobody. That was the voice of God. And verse 5 says, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. It's not happening that during the time when this was written, neither it is happening today. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went in always the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God with the showbread and stuff like that, lighting the candles and that kind of stuff, putting in oil and so on. But the second went only the high priest alone every year, without blood, which he offered for himself and the errors of the people. Blood is involved. The Holy Ghost was signifying that this way to the holiest was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. That's why they couldn't go to and do all that they can. We can do it now. Wherefore, that was a figure of the time then present. You would say it was a representative, and which were offered both gifts and sacrifices and so on. Verse 10. These stood in meats and drinks and different washings and so on. All that stuff took place. But Christ being come, verse 11, a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle made with hands, that is to say, not of this, not made without hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves and bulls and that kind of stuff, but he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he go in there once. What did he carry? Which kind of blood? His own. If the blood of bulls and goats, verse 13, and the ashes of Ephraim sprinkling and unclean sanctify the purifying of the flesh. If God accepted that as a type, that's what he means here. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself from dead, through the eternal spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. If that stuff that they did give them a break, how much more the blood of Jesus, which he offered only one time, and he had already done so, he purged us from dead works to serve the living God. That's what we are doing now, because we didn't die. We continue to live. Why? Because Jesus died for us. Because, verse 15, because of this, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. We which are called will receive what? Eternal life because of this. Verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. What is a testament? It's a will. That's God's will. What is his will for us? What is his desire for us? All right, good. Well, the will come into effect after the person dies. That's why Jesus had to die. Verse 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. And it's not of strength. In other words, it's not of value while he's alive. Verse 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. So the first one was done with blood. The second one was done with blood. The first one was the blood of heifers and goats and so on. The second one is the blood of Jesus. For when Moses had sprinkled every precept unto all the people, he had spoken rather, every precept unto the people, according to the law, he took the blood of the calves of goats and he sprinkled it upon them, right? Remember, he sprinkled, that's another way of what? Saying they're what? Sanctified, all right? By the way, this is a mistake, but there are some churches, they get water and they sprinkle it. And they say that's baptism. It's incorrect, but I just want to let you know there are some churches who are doing that. They just grab this, you know, the devil have a way of tricking people. So they come in this thing called sprinkling. So he says in verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Notice that now I was saying the place got to be sanctified too. You hear me telling people we have to sanctify the place? This is part of what I'm talking about, preparing for the Passover and so on. We're setting the place apart for holy use and purpose. That's what sanctification means. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. The things in heaven, done the same way, but it's of a higher caliber. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself. That's verse 24. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often in the high priest. In other words, he shouldn't be have to do this over and over. He's of higher caliber. Therefore, he just do it once. For then must he often have been suffered since the foundation, if he was to do it regularly, which they were doing it yearly, but that was just a type. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. So people are going to die and then there's a judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we're going to look and repeat. He's going to come second time. Now look at verse chapter 10. The law then was a shadow or an example, a representation, you might say, of good things to come. That system that he had was just a representation. You might say an image type. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereof perfect. So this really never really made them perfect, but they developed a good attitude. That's all it did. But God was trying to let them know something is going to come that permanent down the road that's going to do it, which is going to be the blood of Jesus. All right? For then would they not have ceased to be offered. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance gain made every year. Verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, that's what Jesus said, sacrifice is an offering, you would not, but a body has thou prepared me. He says, you wouldn't do it. But Jesus has prepared, and God has prepared a body, which is Jesus. And verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Speaking of God, he didn't care about that kind of stuff. He just wanted them to realize that sin pays. So each time you sin and you have to offer this animal, you kill your animal. You're going to learn to stop sinning then if you don't want to lose all your animals. So it costs. But he said, God wasn't really interested in that. Then said I, look. So he's now, Jesus is speaking. The scene switch, verse 7. Look, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written about me to do your will, O God. So he came now to do the offering how many times? Once and for all. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standing daily ministering offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away. That's what they were doing. They were doing this regularly, but that didn't really do it. But Jesus come do it once and for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down on the right hand of God, meaning right up there in the position of authority, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So that's it. This is the covenant that I will make with them. That was the prophecy in Jeremiah. All right, verse 16. That was the prophecy. And therein, sins and their innocent, their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. So that's where that expression comes from. Once he come now, he's not going to take that into consideration anymore. Can you accept what? The blood of Jesus. All right? All right, let's read a little more. Having therefore, brethren, boldness because of this now, he's saying to you now, get hold of yourself. Act like a man. Do what you're supposed to do. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, verse 19, enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Come before him. What did I say? How you get access to the blood? By the power of the blood, you come, make a petition before the Father, right? This is symbolized by you going into the holiest of all, and you come before him, and then you can make your petition. Your Honor, grant me this. How many times do you hear the lawyers go and say, Your Honor, grant me this petition. And this, whatever they file their brief, and he grant it to them. Jesus is going to grant it. I mean, he's going to administer it for you, and the Father is going to grant it. All right? So he says, Having therefore boldness, verse 19 again, chapter 10. Let us enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, that which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his body. So he made this possible how? Through his body. And again, how did he do it? By spilling his blood. Verse 21. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Are you hearing me? Draw near. Stop being living in poverty land. Come out of it and come with before God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Remember they used to wash them and sprinkle blood on them? Where your conscience now is sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, so to speak, and you're washed in the blood, as so to speak. Remember that? And having a high priest, let us draw near, he says in verse 22 again, with a true heart, in full assurance, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water, let us hold fast the profession. What do you believe? That's your profession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't be double-minded. One day you're with him, the next day you're with the devil. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. What are some of the promises that he has given us? He's a whole lot. We could spend all day talking about them. But we're going to look at a few more things, but I want us to just get a little more of this. All right, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, let us look at our friends or our neighbors and say, hey, man, get hold of yourself. Let us come before God for real. Time you start to live right. Live for Jesus. Turn around from your, sloppy and slothful way and turn towards him. Let us provoke one another. Encourage them, in other words. Stir them to action. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? You better believe it's coming real fast. We see it happening now. So what should we do? Make sure we assemble, we come before God, or we're going to encourage people to do the same. Are you with me now, folks? If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. If you deliberately decide you're going to ignore the Holy Ghost and choose to totally ignore him, well, there ain't no more help we can give you. There's no other help that is higher than the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you draw away from it, he says, you're in trouble. That's, by the way, that is what's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Let's read on, you'll see. If we sin willfully, do people sin willingly? Yes. Do they sin willfully? In other words, you're going to take on the devil's attitude? You're going to go up against God? That's willful. That's your will. If you do that, but let's read what the result is. It's a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. That's what's going to happen to them. They're going to be burned up. You decide you're going to go up against God. You're going to criticize the Holy Spirit. You're going to go up against the Holy Spirit and everything God tried to do for you. After he has done all this for you, you're in trouble. Very few people have gone that direction. Very few. A lot of people have done a lot of evil things, but they are blind. They don't know that's what they're doing. This is for people who know that that is the case. They have tasted of the power. Let's read a little more. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. On the two or three witnesses, those who disobey, oh yeah, they stoned people to death, you know. They died. How much more sore punishment than suppose you shall he or anybody to become worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. If they take the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing, going totally contrary to it, an unholy thing, that's what they're doing. They're sacrificing Jesus again without realizing it. He says if they're doing that and done despise unto the spirit of grace, they're going, they're going to turn contrary to God and go and despise the spirit of grace, they guarantee what's going to happen to them. They're going to be cut off, one thing, and then secondly, they're going to die eternally. Look at what he says in verse 30. For if we know him that had said, vengeance belong to God, to me. In other words, if you know God, I will recompense, says the Lord. Again, the Lord said, shall judge his people. If you know who that he said that, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you understand that he's able to do this, you're foolish to go contrary to him. But call to remembrance the former days as which after when you were illuminated, you endured great fight of affliction. So think about when you just start, how the devil start to badger you and you still endure. That's when he said, think about that kind of stuff. Partly while you were made a laughing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you become companions of them that were so used. When you come to the church, people laugh at you. Oh, you can't do like me and stuff like that. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoil of your goods, knowing yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance, cast not away therefore. Since this is the case, you endure all this crap for God. Do not cast away your confidence, verse 35, which had great recompense of reward. In other words, don't give up. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So you know what? In other words, just hold on to the patience. By patience, you're going to receive the things of God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. In other words, it's going to take a little time, but it'll come. You have to be tested. Now, the just shall live by faith. He's telling us now, just in case you forget, the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He's encouraging them. He said, don't draw back. Just go on, endure it, because you're going to go through these little testing and trials, but you're going to come out with the victory. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, in other words, to the hellfire, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So he's saying, we believe in the blood. Now I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, we have access to the Holy of Holies. Therefore, we can go before the God and make our petition. In Romans, the 8th chapter, let's read a little more. Romans chapter 8. I only have two more scriptures. Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? He's going to give you all things. All of these things are available. I told you. It's a whole lot. We just don't know how to get it. If he didn't spare Jesus and allow him to go, in other words, he's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his word with you, in other words. And therefore, he's going to give you all things. That's what this means. Look at 2 Peter, chapter 1, final scripture. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Because when you understand this, ladies and gentlemen, you begin to realize now how much he has made available to us through the blood. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, verse 2, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace is going to be multiplied in your life when you get the knowledge of these things I'm talking about. When you understand it, what's going to come to you in abundance? Grace and peace. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things. Remember I told you? He says he's not going to hold anything back. Folks, we don't have because we do not go about it the right way. It is not that he's trying to hold back. That's why I'm tired of hearing people in the church telling me that they can't make it. I don't want to hear it. That's not true. I don't care where you are, whatever country. You can still make it. You will be on top of the heap if you pay attention over time. Not immediately. Sometimes you have to go through trial and testing. But the point is that you have access. Right here in the land of plenty, there's no reason for people not to make it now. No reason to walk in the high places and do what God says. He says he's going to give you 100-fold in this life if you pay attention to him. So therefore, according as this divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He has called us to glory and virtue, and we need to understand this because the things that he's given us, the spiritual things, are what is going to manifest the physical things. So you have to get hold of the spirit first. The problem is most people are trying to get the things first. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these things are added. See, the people turn around the other way. And they try to get the things. Then they say, well, we can get God in the hand. No, you got it all wrong. You're building on a wrong foundation. Seek first the kingdom of God. Get that stuff first. So he says, all these things are going to come through the knowledge of him. Therefore, you get the spiritual things first, and then the physical things come after. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest fun I ever had is when I first discovered these things, I started to spend time looking in my Bible, looked up, see promises that Jesus made, where I could go about day, every day saying, Lord, you made this promise. You promised this. Oh man, listen to me. It is like, what's this thing they talk about, you know, in Fairyland? I mean, it was funny the way things just started to multiply around me. But you know something, I wasn't even focused on the things, I was focused on Jesus. I was just trying to look to see more. Listen, you can play this game with him. You go through the book. Start with the book of Proverbs, or you can go through the Psalms and look, he has given us an enormous amount of promises in there that's available to us. Remember how you go? Again, you go to what? The throne room of God. Because of the blood of Jesus, you have access now. So you're not going to tell me that the devil is going to stop you. You can't. He can't. I don't care who he send come. You can bind them and then go on. The devil will confuse them and they'll end up corrupt and confused and get out of your way over time. But what I'm saying is that you have access, and I used to play this game, and I look to see promises that I could ask the Lord for. Yes, day in, day out, I was asking about these things. Lord, what about these things? I mean, it was funny. I was laughing every day when I started to look at these. Some of them yell for right away, some take a little while, but they were coming through enormously. And I'm saying to you, it is fun when you start to learn to walk with Jesus and start to follow these things and do them. And you begin to see. He's a whole lot. Play that game with him and you begin to see. I talk to him sometimes. I'm just joking, you know, folks say, you talking to God like that? Yes, I am talking to him. I'm joking. Lord, you know, remember, I said, Lord, you can do better than this. Go ahead, push your hand in my side. I remember one time I tell him that. Oh man, did he do that? He sure did. He crushed up that stone that was in me, kidney stone. I mean, it just, in a few minutes, it was out. I am telling you, it's a whole lot. I am telling you, folks, there is so much more you have available to us. Most people don't realize it. And people are missing out because they are not paying attention to the things of God. They're not trying to gain access to the blood. They're not trying to get access to God through the blood. And they're letting it go for naught. You don't want to do that. All this is available to you, ladies and gentlemen, because of the power of the blood. Just thought I'd remind you about these things as we come on Passover. I want to encourage you to continue to seek these things. Thank you so much.